Today is Father's Day, a day set aside by our country to honor fathers. And, you know, it's interesting because in research, fathers have a very important part to play in the role of the development of a child and the impact in their life and what they're going to grow up to become and be. And yet, as we stand here today in where we are as a culture in this country, we've never had a time where fathers have been more absent in the life of children, physically and emotionally involved in the life of children. It's staggering, actually, as we sit here today and as we're celebrating fathers and yet realizing where we're at as a country, and not even as a country, even as a church in our Christian circles. I've heard incredible stories just in the last number of weeks, and I was telling Starla this morning, we were talking a little bit, and I was just like, the one story I just heard, I just told her, I can't believe the tangled web of, and it's hard to even put together all the pieces of where the dads are in the situation, and it took me a while to just read through and get a hold of what's going on, but that's where we're at. And yet, the whole thing of fathering is so important. It's so important for us as people. And this morning, I know that fathering is not easy. That's why we're at where we're at as in the country, I believe, is because the role of being a dad is not an easy one to be. And if we would spend the morning just going around, and if we were just gut level honest as dads, and I would give everyone an opportunity for you to share where you have failed and where I failed, we all know. There's probably not one of us here that couldn't stand up and say, you know, I've really blown it as a dad. I have to say that. But yet, in the middle of that, there's a lot of good. There's a lot of positive. And so what does it mean for us as fathers as we stand here today? And by the way, I'm not preaching just to us as dads. I think there's a part of my message that's going to be for us as dads, but some of it is for all of us, even if we're not dads here this morning, not a father. By the way, there is a big difference between just being a dad and being a father. We can bring children into this world. It's a much different responsibility to shape in the mold, and I want to talk about that a little bit. But as I was thinking, as I was just reflecting on fatherhood and what it means for us here, my mind went in a number of different directions, and I want to talk about those this morning. First of all, I think one of the key things that I need as a dad, if I'm going to be an effective dad, an effective father, I need to be able to honor my father. And I know for some of us, and someone said it here, I think James already mentioned it, that sometimes Father's Day can be a painful time because there's lots of things that go on that create pain. And Mother's Day can be the same time, although not as much. In fact, Mother's Day, the amount of cards that are sent out between Mother's and Father's Day are staggering. There's not a lot sent out on Father's Day. Lots sent out on Mother's Day. So there can be pain involved. But, you know, it's interesting, even in my own journey, I believe if I want to be effective as a father, I need to get to the point where I can honor my earthly father. It's actually a couple of verses. Exodus 20:12, this is in the Ten Commandments, we know it very well. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And what he's saying is, if you want to live a long life, I think he's referring more than just individual life. He's referring to life as a nation. If you want to be here in this nation, if you want to be here long in this land that I am giving you, you need to honor your father and your mother. Matthew 15:4, Jesus says this: For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. That was the price tag that came with cursing a father or your father or mother. In Ephesians 6:12, he says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And God gave a promise that if we as people, if we honor our father and mother, he's promised to bless us. It's a promise that has come. And he talks about long life. And I don't know, I haven't studied this, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I wonder if the direction of our nation has come as a result of this. And the way we're going and our demise as a nation, I wonder if this isn't a direct reflection on what we're talking about right here, because God said if you want to be there for a long time, you need to honor your father and mother if you want to be successful. It's one of the things in my own journey that I've had to come back to. And I do honor my dad this morning. I've just been talking to Starla in the last couple of weeks. What I appreciate about my dad and what he poured into my life and invested in spite of the fact that he grew up with a lot of pain in his life. And there were times that I wasn't too appreciative of what he did, but I am now, because he was effective in what he did in pouring into our lives, even though I don't think he was aware of what he was doing at the time because of his own story. But we need to honor my father and my mother. Second of all, as a dad, I need to be intentional about fathering my own children. And there's a couple of things about fathering that I want to speak into. First of all, Matthew 7:9-12. It's pretty familiar verses, just a couple of verses where Jesus is saying, What man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Just a couple of thoughts on those verses. First of all, what Jesus is saying is, you as evil people know how to pour into the lives of your children. And if they ask you for bread because they're hungry, you're not going to give them a stone to eat. You know how to look out for their well-being. And if they ask a fish, you're not going to give them a serpent. And so as they have needs in your life, you're going to respond to those needs. And you're going to provide for them as a child, as a parent to a child. We don't say, oh, you're hungry, I'm not going to worry about it, you go fend for yourself. We wouldn't do that to a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old. Most of us wouldn't. There are times that that does happen. But even as evil people, if we're not Christians and we live evil lives, there's something that rises up in us when our child says, I'm hungry here, and we provide for them. And that's one of the things that we need to be intentional about as parents. First of all, providing for them physically, but beyond that, emotionally and spiritually. We're looking out for their well-being. We have their best interest in mind. It's more about what we want for them than it is about us as a parent. If I'm going to be a good dad, it's not about what I want, a good father. and what's going to make me happy. It's what I want to pour into their lives to look out for their well-being. And sometimes that's painful. You know, sometimes we let them learn the hard way. We let them touch something hot, so that they learn and they won't touch it again. And we can say, well, why would you ever do that? I'm looking out for his well-being. I want him to learn. And I've done that with our children. We've let him intentionally do things that we knew that they were going to get hurt by, because it was a learning thing for them. We didn't have to continue to tell them not to touch that again, because they learned that if we say it's hot, it's not a good thing to touch. And so, but that's looking out for their well-being. That's looking out for their best interest. That's one thing as I'm fathering my children that I need to be aware of. Second is I need to shape and mold the life of the child so that they're able to function well in life as a member of society and as a Christian. So it's more than just me looking out for their well-being. I have the responsibility of shaping and molding that life to where they can become a good member of society, and they can function well in society as well as they can function well in being a Christian. And we live in a culture where that is not accepted anymore. As I read articles, it's more about we cannot push on to our children what we as parents want. We need to just allow them to grow up and they can become exactly whatever they want to become. And I tell you what, that's a dangerous place to be. And I was going to ask Alicia this morning and I didn't, but she works at a store and she comes home and talks in the evenings around the supper table and tells us the stories of what she sees in children in the store. And it's astounding. You know, children just throwing a fit in the middle of the store, and the parents will just give them whatever they ask just so they're quiet and they can get out of the store. Well, those people are they're shaping and molding their lives all right. Even though we're not going to, they are shaping and molding those lives. And as those children grow up, that's how they're going to respond to life around them. When they want something and mom says no or whoever says no, that's how they're going to respond to life. And we have a responsibility, as difficult it is, and I remember those times being in the store and your child acts up, and what do you do? But we have a responsibility to not just let things go on. We're required to shape and to mold them into what is healthy in society so that they can function well and they can work well with other people in life. Third area that I want to talk about, and by the way, this is going to be a fairly short message, so is exactly the last song that James sung. My responsibility as a father, if I want to be an effective father, I need to allow others and God to continue to father me. And as I was thinking about that, my mind went a number of different directions, but here's the one direction it went. That's difficult for many of us, because many of us didn't want to be what our parents were. And we want to do our own thing, and we don't want someone in our lives shaping and molding us to become something. And I think it has a direct reflection. How we view our parents and we view life is how we view God. And I wonder how many of us are actually comfortable with God parenting us and allowing him to shape and mold our lives, even allowing him to fold us in his arms and get comfortable being in the close presence of God. Him being a father to us, for some of us that's foreign. We don't even know what it's like in earthly. For someone to actually care enough about us that they want to shape and mold and wrap us in their arms. It's not just about shaping and molding. It's about wrapping in their arms and loving and caring enough that we will do anything to look out for their well-being. For many of us, that's difficult to do, I believe. And I know, you know, for me, I had to think about that one for a long time. How willing am I? I actually just started meeting with an older gentleman. And one of the goals of it is I want him to do just a part of that. Just to shape, help to shape and to mold me. My dad's not around here. And I want to be able to have someone pour into my life in that way. Allowing God and others to father me spiritually. And then the fourth area I want to talk about, and this is actually where my message came out, because I've been thinking about these verses for quite a long time. 1 Corinthians 4, for the last number of months actually. First Corinthians 4, verse 14. Paul says this, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, and really what he's meaning there is you have countless people that want to instruct you into what it means to be a Christian. Though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. And then he goes on to say, for in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. That verse struck me a little while ago. Because we talk about fatherhood in the physical sense. We talk about us being there for our children. I don't know if that's me or back there, but something's happening anyway. I don't know. We talk a lot about that, and we talk about the fact that, you know, our role as fathers and what we need to do. But it struck me with this even in my own life, and I've been thinking about this for a couple months. What about me being a father spiritually? What's my role in that? How many Christians have I brought into this world where I've been their spiritual father? I've had the privilege of leading numbers of people to the Lord through the years. That's bringing them into the household of God, but I was left with this question, have I been their father? It's one thing to bring someone into the family of faith spiritually. It's a completely different thing for me to be their father. Paul says, you have 10,000 people that are willing to be your instructor and to tell you what's right and wrong and what you should do and shouldn't do. You have 10,000 people that are willing to do that, but there's not many people that are willing to be your father in Christ. There's very few. We talk about being intentional as fathers, and we need to be as earthly fathers as physically. But how intentional are we as a spiritual father? It's a pretty staggering verse for me to think about. Because I've tried to be intentional with my family. But how intentional am I being a spiritual father who's willing to do exactly what I said before, to look out for a person's well-being and also to be able to shape and mold their lives? That takes time. That takes energy. And many of us, including myself, are pretty hesitant to do that. And then Paul goes on to say this, "Therefore I urge you to imitate me. I'm your father, spiritual father. I've poured my life into you, and I want you to imitate me spiritually." How many of us can say that? How many of us can say, "Hey, Clyde, why don't you just follow me? Just do what I do, and you'll be good." You know, I'm scared to say that because I'm not sure I'm on the right track sometimes. And he's even going to be more scared to follow me. But that's what Paul is saying. "I've poured into your lives. My goal is to mold and shape you till you become a child of God." And I wonder how we would look at Scripture differently if that's the perspective we have, because Paul goes on to say this. "Therefore, in 16 he says, "Therefore I urge you, imitate me." And then he says, "For this reason I sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in the church." And I'm going to stop there and make a couple comments. But he's saying, "I'm not able to be there right now with what you're going through, so I'm sending Timothy to you, and he's going to remind you, and he's going to shape and mold and pour into your life. Because I want you to get through what they're..." And I'm not going to go into what they're dealing with there. But then he goes on in verse 19 and says this, "But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but of power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Then he says this in 21, "What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness?" And, you know, if I would talk like that up front here, there probably wouldn't be many people that show up here on a Sunday morning, because those are pretty strong words that Paul's using. And really what he's saying is, "I'm teaching you and I'm training you to become," and you've messed up. And if you read the rest of Corinthians, we know what they were dealing with. They were dealing with some sin in the church, and they weren't handling it very well. And so Paul says, "You better change this, and you have a choice of how I'm going to come to you. I'm either going to come to you with a rod, or if you deal with this properly, I'm going to come in love, and you have a choice in how I'm going to come to you." Those are strong words. But if we look, and I've often read those verses, and I've said, what is Paul trying to do there? Like, I wouldn't be drawn to someone that says those words to me unless it's my father, and I'm willing to be molded and shaped by his life. If I know that someone's looking out for my well-being and I want to be molded and shaped, I will accept words like that. Because I know that he's out to change me. And he's out to make me into someone that I'm not now, but that I will become as I allow him to mold and to shape my life. Those are astounding verses to me as I read them. But I love the heartbeat of Paul. He's going to do whatever it takes to shape and mold that Corinthian church and the people that he's birthed in Christ. We spank our children, and we do that to train, or most of us do anyway. I don't know if everyone does here or not. But the purpose of that is to mold and train as I look at Scripture. And Paul's sort of doing the same thing. I mean, he wouldn't have come physically and done with a rod, but he's saying, "I'm either going to come with authority, or I'm going to come in love and peace." But his purpose, he's doing that because he's the spiritual father. And I don't know, as I look at that, I don't know, I'm reflecting on my own life as I stand up here this morning. How willing am I to do that to the life of people? How willing am I, I'm going to change the wording here a little bit, but to be able to get in Sam's face and say, "Sam, you're really messing up. Now you either do something about it or something's going to happen." We're pretty hesitant to relate to people that way. But that's what Paul is doing, and it's because he's his spiritual father, and he's saying, I want something more of you than what's happening in your life. And we're scared of fathering spiritually. We really are. I am. Let me talk for myself. I don't know if you are or not. But I'm scared sometimes to be a father spiritually. Sometimes I'm afraid to be a father in the physical sense because of what it requires. But the same is true on the other side. Spiritually, we just let people sort of flounder in life. And I was reflecting on some of the people I've led through the Lord. And I know some of them I've led to the Lord in the last years, and I know some of them have just sort of floundered. And why is that? And I think a part of it is because I haven't been willing to step up and be a spiritual father to them. We have a calling on our lives as men, and this goes beyond physical fatherhood, but as men, we have a calling on our lives, first of all, to bring people into the family of God, into life spiritually, but then not just let them hang. Are we involved in fathering people spiritually? I'm talking to myself here this morning. I've brought people into the family of God. But I've been intentionally involved in fathering them. That's something for us to think about as men here this morning. What kind of a father have I been? In the physical sense, in the spiritual sense. What kind of father are we here this morning? What kind of spiritual father are we? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the life that you've given us. I thank you for our fathers. Thank you for my father. For the fathers that you have given us, that have given us life. And Lord, no matter where we are in our journey here this morning, and I'm sure there's a host of stories here. I know there's pain. I know some of the stories. But yet today, we just take this time to honor all of the fathers represented here this morning. We want to honor them. Lord, I know some of their lives have been filled with pain, and they've responded out of that. And yet in the middle of that, many of them have been faithful. They've been faithful to you. They've been faithful to our moms. They've been faithful in countless ways. And so we honor them here this morning. And Lord, we also want to be intentional as fathers in how we raise our children. And we want to look out for their well-being, but we also want to be involved in shaping and molding their lives. And Lord, I pray that you would stir in our hearts about what it means for us to be a father spiritually and allow you to father us first of all. Because, Lord, life is really not about us. It's about you. It's about your kingdom. It's about what you want to do in the hearts and lives of people. And, Lord, I pray that we would be passionate about fathering people spiritually. Not just leading them to the Lord, but shaping and molding their lives. Lord, we can only do that through your presence, through the Holy Spirit, and I ask for that this morning, that you would nudge our hearts on this day, on Father's Day. speak to us, Lord. Encourage us as fathers, and we commit our lives to you as fathers. In Jesus' name, amen.